Thus, a holder in due course is a bona fide person who takes the instrument for value. For value means for the money involved in it. Before it becomes overdue, before the due date, there is no point in taking any instrument after the due date. So it has to be taken before the due date. Then only I am entitled to the payment. And in good faith, this is very important, in good faith, I have no reason to believe that जो इंस्ट्रूमेंट मुझे मिल रहा है जो मुझे दे रहा है वो आदमी सही है. ही इज नॉट रिसीव दिस इंस्ट्रूमेंट बाय रॉबिंग इट फ्रॉम समबडी. ही इज नॉट रिसीव दिस इंस्ट्रूमेंट बाय डूइंग सम फिशी बिजनेस विद समबडी एल्स एंड ही हैज नॉट टैम्पर्ड विद दैट इंस्ट्रूमेंट. सो द होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स विल हैव नो नॉलेज ऑफ एनी डिफेक्ट इन द टाइटल ऑफ द पर्सन हु हैज ट्रांसफर्ड इट टू हिम. So the person who is transferring the instrument, the holder in due course believes that this person is very good. He is giving me this instrument in genuine transactions. In a bearer as well as order instrument, the holder in due course gets possession of the instrument as a payee or endorsee before the amount becomes payable. That is before the due date. As I said, the payment has to be genuinely be made. For that, the payment has to be made before the due date. After the due date, the bill is stale. After it becomes, if the due date is gone and the payment is not made, it is a dishonored check or bill. यदि वो bill या check मेरे हाथ में आया, तो I do not become a holder in due course. So I am supposed to get the instrument before the due date. I am supposed to get the instrument for value, for the money involved in it, because I have passed on some consideration and I am going to believe that jo mujhe de raha hai wo aadmi iske liye layak tha and he is giving it to me under normal circumstances and there is no doubt coming in my mind ki something is wrong. No, any person who claims that he is a holder in due course, he has to prove the following things. As I said, the holder in due course, that he is a holder. He is a holder means he is having possession of the instrument and he is entitled to get the money. He is a holder for consideration. He has not received it as a gift. उसने पैसे दिए होंगे, उसने कुछ माल बेचा होगा, तभी उसको ये पैसा मिलने वाला है एंड ही इज एंटाइटल्ड टू गेट दैट. सो देयर इज कंसिडरेशन दैट ही हैज रिसीव द इंस्ट्रूमेंट बिफोर द मैच्योरिटी डेट. अ होल्डर इज होल्डिंग द इंस्ट्रूमेंट, ही इज एंटाइटल्ड टू द पेमेंट, बट अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स नेसेसरीली ही हैज टू रिसीव इट बिफोर द मैच्योरिटी डेट, बिफोर द ड्यू डेट. He has taken the instrument in good faith, without any suspicion or doubt of any defective title of the transferor. Transferor may or may not have a good title, but the holder in due course is not aware of it. He believes in good faith. He believes totally कि ये आदमी अच्छा है और ये मुझे genuinely ये check endorse करके दे रहा है. उसके मन में कोई डाउट नहीं आना चाहिए कि समथिंग इज रॉन्ग एंड दैट इज वाई ही इज पासिंग ऑन दिस बिल टू मी और ही इज पासिंग ऑन दिस चेक टू मी. ही हैज नो रीजन टू बिलीव, देर इज नो सस्पिशन, देर इज नो बिलीफ दैट समथिंग इज रॉन्ग. सो ही इज टेकिंग इट इन गुड फेथ एंड विदाउट एनी सस्पिशन ऑफ एनी डिफेक्टिव टाइटल ऑफ द ट्रांसफर. नॉर्मल प्रूडेंस हम क्या सोचेंगे कि ये ठीक है एंड दैट इज आई एम गेटिंग. नाउ नॉर्मल प्रूडेंस या सस्पिशन डाउट एंड ऑल, लेट मी मेक इट वेरी क्लियर. सपोज देर इज अ चेक, समबडी इज एंडोर्सिंग इट इन माई फेवर, द चेक इज फॉर 6,000 रुपीज, इट्स रिटन देर 6,000 फिगर्स में, इट्स रिटन इन वर्ड्स ऑल्सो 6,000. आई एम डूइंग बिजनेस विथ समबडी एंड दैट पर्सन गिव्स मी दिस चेक. when I receive the check, I am seeing in on it 6000 लिखा है और आगे में और एक जीरो है. Now the size of that zero is slightly smaller than the other three zeros. 6000 में तीन जीरोस है, 60000 में फोर जीरोस. Now the last zero is slightly smaller than these three zeros. और यहाँ पे वर्ड्स में भी जो 6000 लिखा है उसके आगे एस आई एक्स के आगे टी वाई लिखा हुआ है और ये टी वाई जो लिखा है स्लाइटली डिफरेंट हैंड राइटिंग, वेरी वेरी स्लाइट, यानी एकदम माइन्यूटली देखेंगे तो पता चलता है कि ये जो टी वाई है ये थोड़ा सा अलग हैंड राइटिंग है. नाउ इफ द पर्सन हु इज गिविंग मी दिस चेक हैज चेंज इट फ्रॉम 6000 टू 60000 एंड व्हेन आई एम गेटिंग दिस चेक आई एम एबल टू मेक आउट दैट इट हैज बीन चेंज्ड. ये ओरिजिनल चेक नहीं है, ये मॉडिफाइड चेक है और किसी ने इसको टैम्पर करके अमाउंट चेंज कर दिया, 6 को 60 कर दिया, बोथ इन फिगर्स एंड वर्ड्स. इफ आई कैन सी दिस एज अ मैन ऑफ नॉर्मल प्रूडेंस, आई एम नॉट गोइंग टू डीप कि माइक्रोस्कोप लेके देखते हैं, मैग्नीफाइंग ग्लास लेके देखते हैं या अल्ट्रावायलेट रेज में देखते हैं, नो, जस्ट अ मैन ऑफ नॉर्मल प्रूडेंस आई लुक एट इट एंड आई एम एबल टू मेक आउट दैट देयर इज अ चेंज एंड स्टिल ऑन टेकिंग इट देन आई एम नॉट अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स. बिकॉज ये डाउट मन में आना ही चाहिए कि हाउ कैन दिस अमाउंट डिफर, हैंड राइटिंग में फर्क है, साइज में फर्क है, इंक में भी शायद फर्क होगा, 6000 जो लिखा है और 60000 में जो है वो टी वाई अलग इंक से लिखा होगा या अलग हैंड राइटिंग में है, तो देखते ही डाउट आना चाहिए. सो एनी पर्सन ऑफ नॉर्मल इंटेलिजेंस, नॉर्मल प्रूडेंस, उसको यदि पता चलता है कि देर इज अ चेंज देन I should get a doubt. Then, and if after getting the doubt, if I'm still taking that check, then I am not a holder in due course and I am not entitled to that payment. Another example. Suppose I have a check in hand. Somebody is giving it to me. He is transferring. He is endorsing in my favor. Usme likha hua hai naam XYZ. एंड को पे एक्स वाई जेड एंड कंपनी. नाउ द पर्सन हु इज ट्रांसफरिंग इट टू मी ही इज राइटिंग एक्स वाई जेड एंड को लिमिटेड एड कर दिया एलटीडी. और ये जो एड किया है एलटीडी लिमिटेड, इट कैन बी विजिबल दैट इट इज अ डिफरेंट हैंड राइटिंग. सी एक्स वाई जेड एंड कंपनी, एक्स वाई जेड एंड कंपनी लिमिटेड, बहुत फर्क है इन द कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन इटसेल्फ. वन इज अ पार्टनरशिप फॉर्म और मे बी प्रोप्राइटरी फॉर्म, अनदर इज अ प्राइवेट लिमिटेड कंपनी और अ डिफरेंट कंपनी ऑल टुगेदर. तो कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन में फर्क आ गया एंड इफ देर इज अ चेंज विच आई कैन मेक आउट दैट देर इज अ चेंज, तो मन में थोड़ा सा डाउट आना चाहिए ये ऐसे कैसे अलग अलग हैंड राइटिंग में लिखा हुआ है, पार्ट ऑफ द नेम इन वन इंक और वन हैंड राइटिंग एंड पार्ट ऑफ इट इन अनदर हैंड राइटिंग. तो डाउट आता है मन में लुकिंग एट इट. If I see that is being endorsed to me, then I am not going to be a holder in due course. I cannot be entitled to the payment. Now, it can be the reverse way also. Suppose a check is issued in the name of ABC Company Private Limited. And I have to receive payment from some Mr. X. Now, Mr. X is giving this check, endorsing it in my favor, and while endorsing, उसने क्या किया? वो limited cut दिया, wiped it out. When I look at the check, apparently दिखता ही है कि कुछ तो भी काटा हुआ है, कुछ तो भी wipe out किया हुआ है, some smudge mark दिखता है check के ऊपर. That means some doubt आना चाहिए मन में. For a normal person, just looking at the instrument, पता चल रहा है कि something is wrong. समथिंग इज वाइप्ड आउट, कुछ तो भी लिखा हुआ है एडिशन और वो वाइप आउट किया हुआ है. ना इफ दैट जो वाइप आउट किया हुआ है, इफ दैट पोर्शन इज नॉट साइन बाय द ड्रॉअर, जिसने नीचे द मेकर ऑफ द चेक और द ड्रॉअर ऑफ द चेक इज नॉट साइनिंग ऑथेंटिकेटिंग द चेंज इन द पेईज नेम, देन दैट चेक इज नॉट अ वैलिड चेक. दैट मीन्स द ट्रांसफरर हु इज गिवन इट टू मी इज नॉट हैविंग अ गुड टाइटल टू इट बिकॉज इट इज अ चेक इन विच there has been some alterations done and that alteration is not authenticated by the maker of the check, the drawer of the check. And if still I am taking that check, I cannot become a holder in due course because I should have suspicion. I should get the doubt ki naam kaise badal gaya. Then I cannot become a holder in due course. So a holder in due course has to take it in good faith and without any suspicion of the defective title. So apparently, looking at the instrument on by the transactions, previous transactions, I should be able to get a doubt. Now suppose the check is fully intact, everything is in order. I have done business dealing with one Mr. X. He is giving me a check for 10 lakhs. He has endorsed it in my favor. Mr. X has endorsed it in my favor, but Mr. X is somebody who kitne bhi saalon se kaam kare, dhanda kare, he can never do business to the extent of 10 lakhs. 1 lakh ke upar koi contract hi nahi liya tha usne, construction contractor hai ya labor hai. So how can he come into the position of a check for 10 lakhs and how can he endorse it in my name? Ye doubt man mein aana chahiye because of the status of the transferor. The transferor is not having that wealthy status to give a check of 10 lakhs to me. To man mein doubt aana chahiye ki nahi, ki isko kaise check mila 10 lakh ka? How can he transfer it to me? So if I am going to get even a little bit of doubt, I am not supposed to take the check. I should not have it endorsed in my favor. But if it is endorsed in my favor, I am taking it with the defect, with the doubt, but I cannot become a holder in due course. I may be a holder, but I cannot be a holder in due course. Okay, I hope this is very clear because you have to understand that a holder in due course means he gets the possession of the instrument before the due date, he is entitled to the payment, but he should also take it in good faith and without any reason for any doubt or any suspicion ki transferor jo hai wo sahi hai, usko paise transfer karne ke liye layak hai, he is entitled to transfer it to me. So he does not have a defective title. If that confidence if I have and I am taking that instrument, then I become a holder in due course. Now an inchoate instrument. I don't know if you all have heard of this word inchoate. It is not the same as incomplete. Yes, it is incomplete, but it is also a little different from incomplete. An inchoate instrument is one which is blank, but it is signed by the maker, it is signed by the drawer. Usne blank instrument sign kar diya hai, kuch bhi bhara nahi hai, but it is duly stamped. It's a bill of exchange which is signed by the maker and the holder in due course receives this inchoate instrument. It is duly stamped. The holder in due course can fill the amounts. See, somebody is giving me a check. He has signed it and he says, madam, aap khud bhar lo isme. Amount bhi bhar lo, aapka naam bhi dal lena. Aapka naam mujhe malum nahi, aapka spelling nahi aata hai mujhe. To aap naam likh lo aur amount bhi bhar lena. He only signs it. He may be illiterate, he puts a thumb impression and he tells me to fill in everything. It's a valid document. I get the instrument in my hand. I have filled in all the details. I am entitled to the payment. He has to give me the payment. He has given it to me and he has told me to fill the details. I have filled it. So I become a holder in due course, provided I fill the amount which is supposed to be filled in under that instrument. Now see, bills of exchange, especially site bills of exchange, which are payable after 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, they require to be stamped. There is stamp duty prescribed as per the period and as per the amount. Bills payable after 3 months up to rupees 1 lakh, stamp duty. Bills payable after 3 months, before 6 months, more than 5 lakhs, more than 10 lakhs, this is a stamp duty. So stamp duty bhara hua hai, uske mutabik main amount usme bhar sakti hun. So I am not going to fill in an amount which is beyond the value of that stamp duty. So if I do that and I fill in all the other relevant details, I become a holder in due course. The document so filled in by the holder in due course is valid as though it was originally drawn by that maker in that manner. जब कोई व्यक्ति बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज बनाता है आधा अधूरा बना के पर स्टैम्प ड्यूटी भरा हुआ है एंड ही गिव्स इट एंडोर्सेस इट टू समबडी एंड सेज कि यू फिल इन ऑल द अदर डिटेल्स एंड वो भरता है एवरीथिंग एल्स इज इन ऑर्डर दैट पर्सन ही फिल्स इन द डिटेल्स ही इज अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स क्योंकि जो डिटेल्स भरा है वो सही सलामत है He is entitled to the payment and he is a holder in due course. The drawer of the bill or the check cannot claim कि मुझे तो मालूम नहीं था मैंने थोड़ी बोला था आपको 10,000 लिखने के लिए या 10 लाख लिखने के लिए आपने अपने मन से लिख दिया दिस इज नॉट वैलिड आई एम नॉट गोइंग टू पे द अमाउंट ये वो कह नहीं सकता द होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स इज एंटाइटल्ड टू फिल द अमाउंट ही इज एंटाइटल्ड टू फिल हिज नेम वॉट एवर अदर डिटेल्स ही वॉन्ट्स एंड द ड्रॉअर विल बी रेस्पॉन्सिबल See, the drawer cannot question the action of the holder in due course in having filled in those details. This is because of the presumption that the drawer of an inchoate instrument gives the holder the right to complete it. Without telling in so many words, he is telling, "Bhar lo isme, aapko jo bharna hai, bhar lena. I have signed it, you fill it." So, on a subsequent date, he cannot say, "Nahi, nahi, mujhe nahi malum tha, ye to aapne apne marzi se kuch to bhi bhar liya." No. He cannot claim that way. If a bill of exchange is drawn on behalf of a fictitious person and is payable to his order, the acceptor is not relieved of his liability to the holder in due course. See, a holder in due course, we saw, is a person who is getting the instrument in his favor because he is started with some consideration, he has done some financial dealing and he has got it without any reason or doubt that the transferor has no good title. Without that, in good faith, he has received it. So, once he is a holder in due course, even if the bill of exchange is drawn on behalf of a fictitious person, aadmi tha hi nahi, but once he has received it from the transferor, He is entitled to the payment. This is the benefit of a holder in due course. Jo acceptor hai, jisne accept kiya, yes, I am ready to pay the amount. If he felt that this is a fictitious name, he should not have accepted. Why did he accept? Usne sign kar diya na, accepted. I am accepting the liability. Jab usne accept kiya liability and then that bill is passed on to a holder in due course, that acceptor cannot deny his liability. This is the benefit a holder in due course will get. He can definitely file a suit against the acceptor and get the payment. See, the holder in due course has to prove that this instrument, jo bhi endorsement hai usme, those endorsements are in the same handwriting of the drawer and they are in that same sequence and they are signed by the drawer. Yadi handwriting badal gaya, yadi kuch ओवरराइटिंग है या काटपीट है तो देन दैट विल गिव राइज टू सम डाउट इन दैट केस द होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स विल नॉट बी एंटाइटल टू द पेमेंट बिकॉज ही कैन नॉट बिकम अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स सो अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स विल बी एंटाइटल टू द अमाउंट एंड द एक्सेप्टर कैन नॉट एस्केप हिज लायबिलिटी इवन दो द नेम इज फिक्टिशियस इफ द होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स कैन प्रूव that the handwriting is that of the drawer. The holder in due course will possess the title which is free from any defect. He will always get a better title than the transferor. Transferor may have any defect in the title, but the holder in due course will always have a good title because the holder in due course has received the instrument due to some consideration, valid consideration and in good faith. Because he believes that the transferor जिसने मुझे ये पैसा दिया एंडोर्स करके दिया इंस्ट्रूमेंट ही इज हैविंग अ गुड टाइटल दैट इज वाई आई एम गेटिंग अ गुड टाइटल सो ही इज हैविंग दैट फेथ इन हिम and then he gets the instrument. So he will always have a good title. Transferor may or may not have the good title, but the holder in due course will have a good title. Now, once he has got good title, he can pass on this good title to all the subsequent parties. He can always pass on a good title, even though the previous parties may or may not have had. But he has become a holder in due course, so he is going to get good title and he can pass it on to other parties by further endorsements. Now, a holder in due course gets protection even in the case of a lost instrument or one which is obtained by fraud. A holder in due course is a person who has got good title, he has had valid consideration, he had no reason to believe that the transferor jisne usko ye transfer karke diya, he had any defect in his title. Now, since he is a holder in due course, even if that instrument is lost, even if it is obtained by fraud, he will still remain a holder in due course and he is entitled to the payment and he gets protection under the law. So, a person who is liable to pay cannot get any defense on this account. Instrument is lost. So, who is supposed to pay? The drawee. He has to make the payment. Oh, drawee nahi bol sakta, instrument is lost. Now, I don't know who is going to get the payment. But if the holder in due course can prove that he is the holder in due course and he is entitled to the payment, then the previous parties cannot deny the responsibility of making the payment. Even if the instrument is lost, even if it is obtained under fraud, previous titles defective hain, but the holder in due course gets a good title, so he is entitled to the payment. So he will and he should get the payment. See, the holder in due course will also get the benefit that no maker or drawer of a promissory note or bill of exchange can ever deny the validity of the instrument. Once a holder in due course gets the instrument endorsed in his favor, what does it mean? The holder in due course has made some consideration, maybe he has sold some goods, he has given a loan, and that is why the instrument is endorsed in his favor. He presumes, believes in good faith ki jisne ye check mujhe endorse karke diya, he has a good title. Ab ye sab hone ke baad, the original party, the maker of the promissory note or the drawer of the bill of exchange, ye log nahi bol sakte ki nahi nahi, this was not a valid instrument at all, so we are not entitled to pay. If they were not entitled to pay, they can do that to other people. They cannot refuse payment to the holder in due course. Kyunki holder in due course has full protection under law. Usko paisa milna hai, milna hi hai. Because he is a holder in due course, he is not just an ordinary holder. He is not just an ordinary person who has come into the possession of the instrument. Ki aisa hi mil gaya, raste pe mil gaya ya chori karke mil gaya. He is a person who is entitled to the payment in his own right. And that is why these people, the maker of the promissory note, the drawer of the bill of exchange, can never deny that this valid is not a valid instrument. Ye to galat instrument hai, it is not valid, it is illegal. Ye kabhi wo bol nahi sakte hain. Likewise, a holder in due course will get more benefit, additional benefit, that no maker or drawer of a promissory note or bill of exchange can ever deny the capacity of the payee. See, a bill of exchange is drawn by A on B to make the payment to C. C has become a holder in due course. Now, A cannot tell that B was not capable of making the payment. B is the payee who has to make the payment. So, A ye nahi keh sakta hai ki B ko capacity nahi hai. B to kya payment dega? So, you are not entitled to any payment. Having once drawn the bill, having once made a promissory note, you cannot say no, the payee. In the case of a promissory note, the maker is the payee. He has drawn the promissory note, he has issued the promissory note, he has signed it, so he is the payee. In a bill of exchange, the drawee is the payee. Drawee is the one who has to make the payment, sorry, he is the one who has got to pay. So he cannot deny the capacity of the payer. And likewise, they cannot deny the capacity of the payee to make the payment on the due date. So here they cannot say that you are not capable of getting the payment, you are not entitled to the payment. तो ये सब मेकर या ड्रॉअर ये कभी ये बोल नहीं सकते, दे कैन नॉट डिनाई दिस कैपेसिटी ऑफ द पेई टू मेक द पेमेंट, दे दैट यू आर नॉट अ केपेबल पर्सन फॉर रिसीविंग द पेमेंट बिकॉज ही इज अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स, दे कैन नॉट डिनाई हिज कैपेसिटी, दे कैन नॉट डिनाई देयर ओन कैपेसिटी और दे कैन नॉट डिनाई द वैलिडिटी ऑफ द इंस्ट्रूमेंट, they cannot likewise deny his capacity, the holder in due course capacity, that you are not entitled to the payment. This is the benefit of a draw holder in due course. See, a holder in due course, when he has got an instrument in his hand, he is the possessor, he is the person who is entitled to the payment under that instrument, and he has got it in good faith without any grounds or reasons for doubt that the transfer doesn't have a good title. Now, without all this, he has taken it in good faith, he is going to get the payment under it. In that case, all the previous parties, means before he came into the picture, all the previous people, that is starting from the maker, the drawer, drawee, endorser, acceptor, all these people, they all become liable to him. And they all are liable to him right up to the time the last paisa of that instrument is paid to him. He is entitled for full payment even if the payment is being settled in parts. Aaj thoda, kal thoda, baad mein thoda. Till the final payment is made to him, maybe even with interest, whatever. Till it is fully satisfied, they continue to remain liable. It is not that just the transferor who transferred the instrument to the holder in due course, only he is responsible. No, all the previous parties are liable. So, a holder in due course can get recourse to all these people. He can file a suit against each and every party before him. So, the holder in due course can recover from any or all of these prior parties the amount that he is entitled under that instrument. If a holder in due course has to file a suit for getting the amount, he is not getting the payment, he is entitled to get the payment, but he is not getting it. In that case, the prior parties cannot deny their signature or capacity of any prior party. Suppose A has drawn a bill, it is drawn on B, B has endorsed it to C, C to D, D to E. Now E is the holder in due course. E is the holder in due course, then D cannot deny that C was not entitled, so I am not having any capacity. He did not have capacity, so there is no transaction, everything is null and void, I am not responsible. No. Everybody before E, that is A, B, C, D, all are responsible and they cannot deny their capacity to sign the instrument. No one can say इसको तो authority नहीं थी, उसने कैसे sign कर दिया. Once it has been endorsed and received by the holder in due course, everything else prior to that becomes legitimate. Everything becomes legal. So the holder in due course can file a suit against everybody and they cannot deny their capacity, they cannot deny their signatures. So the holder in due course gets full recourse to the instrument. These are the advantages, benefits of a holder in due course. Merely being a holder and merely becoming a holder in due course, bahut bada farak hai, and these are the advantages of a holder in due course. They are the rights and he gets these privileges, these rights which he can enjoy. Now we have seen who a holder is, we have also seen who a holder in due courses. A holder, he is having possession of the instrument and he is entitled to the payment. De facto holder, de jure holder. We have also seen who a holder in due courses. A holder in due course is having the possession, he gets the instrument before the due date, he is entitled to the payment and he has taken it in good faith and without any reason to doubt that the transferor did not have a good title. एक्चुअल फर्क क्या है ना, अ होल्डर कैन बिकम द पोजेसर ऑफ पेई ऑफ एन इंस्ट्रूमेंट इवन विदाउट कंसिडरेशन, बट अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स विल गेट द पोजेशन ओनली फॉर कंसिडरेशन. देर इज अ मनी एंगल अटैच टू अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स. अ होल्डर कैन और कैन कैनॉट हैव बी अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स. अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स इज ऑलवेज हैविंग सम मनी एंगल अटैच्ड, सो ही विल हैव द अथॉरिटी टू फाइल सूट ही बिकॉज कंसिडरेशन इज इन्वॉल्व. अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स बिकम्स द पोजेसर ऑफ द इंस्ट्रूमेंट बिफोर इट बिकम्स पेएबल. देर इज नो सच कंडीशन फॉर अ होल्डर. अ होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स हैज टू गेट द इंस्ट्रूमेंट बिफोर द ड्यू डेट, बिफोर द मैच्योरिटी डेट. फॉर अ नॉर्मल होल्डर ऐसा कोई कंडीशन नहीं है. He may get the possession of the instrument even after the due date. A holder in due course must become the payee of the instrument in good faith. There is no reason to believe that the transferor had any bad title or some defect in the title. For a holder, there is no such condition. A holder means a person who gets the instrument in his possession. But a holder in due course, ek to consideration chahiye. Secondly, he is getting it in good faith. In the normal course of business, he believes, हाँ ये जो instrument मुझे मिला है, जिसने मुझे दिया, he has got authority to hold that and he is endorsing it in my favor. So, he has got good title, I am getting a good title. So, he is taking it in good faith without any reason to believe that the transferor did not have any good title. Now, who are the other parties to the negotiable instrument? There are more and more parties. इतने सारे पार्टीज हमने देख लिए, सात आठ लोगों का देख लिया. ड्रॉअर, मेकर, ड्रॉई, पेड, एक्सेप्टर, एक्सेप्टर फॉर ऑनर, ड्रॉई इन केस ऑफ नीड, एंड देन होल्डर, होल्डर इन ड्यू कोर्स. नाउ वी कम टू अनदर पर्सन, एंडोर्सर. वी केप्ट ऑन मेंशनिंग दिस वर्ड, बट नाउ वी आर गोइंग टू सी हु दिस पर्सन इज. एन एंडोर्सर इज अ पर्सन हु साइंस हिज नेम ऑन द बैक ऑफ द इंस्ट्रूमेंट एंड ट्रांसफर्स हिज हर राइट्स ऑन द बिल टू अनदर फॉर वैल्यू रिसीट. See, an endorser is somebody who is signing, not on the face of the instrument, on the back side. He signs there, and by signing, by doing so, what he is doing is he is transferring his rights to the other person. Look, what I am going to get under this instrument, जो कुछ पैसा मुझे मिलना चाहिए वो मैं आपको देता हूं. He is signing and handing it over. So what he does is he is signing his name on the back of the instrument and transfers the rights of the bill to another person for value received. He is endorsing it. Why he will endorse? Just like that for मजे के लिए थोड़ी कोई endorse करता है. Because he has to pay to somebody else. वो ये check उसको endorse करके दे देता है. So that means there is a transaction between him and another party. तो जब दूसरी party के साथ उसका transaction होता है, there is some value received. So he has to pay to that person. So he is endorsing this instrument in favor of that, in favor of that other person. So when he is signing it, he is actually transferring his right under that instrument to the other person. The endorsement can be in blank. Sirf sign kar diya, kuch nahi likha, so that is an endorsement in blank. Or it can be in full. Endorsement in full means where the endorser signs and also writes, pay to so and so. He mentions the name of the person to whom the bill is to be paid. So, jab wo likhta hai, pay to D or order, pay to X or order, or pay to X and signs, then this is a full endorsement. If he only signs, doesn't write anything, pay to so and so. सिर्फ साइन कर दिया तो दैट इज एन एंडोर्समेंट इन ब्लैंक. बट ही इज ऑल्सो राइटिंग किसको पेमेंट देना है एंड साइंस, दैट इज एन एंडोर्समेंट इन फुल. एंडोर्सर डज ऑल दीज थिंग्स. नाउ हु इज द एंडोर्सी? एंडोर्सी इज द पर्सन जिसके फेवर में एंडोर्समेंट हुआ है. सो एंडोर्सी मीन्स समबडी इन हु फेवर द एंडोर्समेंट इज मेड. वेन ए साइंस अ बिल, A to C and C signs pay to D. D is the endorsee. In the previous case, C is the endorsee because it is endorsed in his favor. When he signs and says pay to C, he is the endorser and D is the endorsee. Holder for value. Actually, negotiable instrument act mein ye shabd hai hi nahi, holder for value. But we use this word very often. And for definition or for the privileges, for the rights, we fall back on the original act, that is Bill of Exchange Act of England. Kyunki negotiable instrument act jo hai, it is based on the Bill of Exchange Act of England. To wo act ke aadhar pe negotiable instrument act banaya gaya, par negotiable instrument act mein ye chhut gaya, include nahi hua. So, but we use the word, and holder for value means a person where value has been given at any time for a bill. The holder is deemed to be the holder for value. He is not just a holder. He is not holding, just having possession. He has got the possession because of some consideration, because of some transaction, financial deal, and that is why he is getting this instrument. He is a holder for value with regard to the acceptor and all prior parties to the bill. He is a holder for value because somebody has given it to him, because he has to receive some payment. तो ये बिल के ऊपर जो अमाउंट लिखा गया वो अमाउंट इसको मिलना चाहिए बिकॉज ही हैज डन समथिंग टू समबडी. ही हैज सोल्ड सम गुड्स और ही हैज गिवन देम लोन एंड दैट इज वे ही हैज टू रिसीव दिस अमाउंट. सो जिसने एक्सेप्ट किया लायबिलिटी, यस आई एम रेडी टू पे, नाउ दैट पर्सन बिकम्स लायबल टू द होल्डर फॉर वैल्यू. सो इट स्टेज नाउ दिस बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज एक्ट ऑफ इंग्लैंड सेज that where value has been given to, at any time for a bill, the holder is deemed to be the holder for value. He is a holder for value with regard to the acceptor and all prior parties to the bill. Prior parties includes right up to the maker or drawer of the bill. They are all liable to the holder for value. See, if the holder of a bill has a lien on it due to some contract or by implication of law, he becomes a holder for value to the extent of that lien. Suppose I have given you a loan of 1 lakh rupees. You have a check in your favor given to you by somebody else for 65,000 rupees. What you do? You say ki ha, aapne mujhe loan diya 1 lakh rupees. I am giving you this check. Keep it with you. In case I don't make the payment of 1 lakh, then you can exercise your authority and encash this check of 65,000. So, I have a lien over that check. I am not going to encash. It is not endorsed in my favor, but it is given to me as a security. It is given to me as a security for the loan that I have given. So, to the extent of 65,000, I have a lien over it. Another case, I give a loan of 50,000 rupees to somebody and that somebody ye 65,000 rupees ka check mujhe deta hai aur kehta hai ki 50,000 rupees aapka hai isme. So I have a lien on that check for the extent of 50,000 rupees jo loan diya maine, not entire 65,000, to the extent of 50,000 I have a lien over it. So I am a holder for value of that check to the extent of 50,000. So I become a holder for value to the extent of that lien. The lien is 50,000 rupees. To that extent, I am a holder for value. I am not a holder for value for entire 65,000. I am a holder for value to the extent of 50,000, jo loan diya maine wo. Or it could be possible that the court has given an order in my favor and says that you keep this check with you. You have authority to encash it on a particular date if this person doesn't make this payment of installment. He has to pay me in 10 installments and he has defaulted, suppose the 4th installment, and court has said, okay, you can encash this check to this extent. So court ne mujhe authority di hai to keep that check or instrument. I become a holder for value to that extent. Now once value is given by a holder and he becomes a holder for value, he and all subsequent holders can claim to be the holders for value. I am a holder for value because there is some payment to be received by me and I'm entitled to it and I get this instrument in my favor, I'm a holder for value. I can endorse it further to other people. So, mere aage jitne bhi endorsers, endorsees honge, they also become holder for value. So, a holder for value will make all the future parties also holder for value. So, that is what it says. Once value is given by a holder and he becomes a holder for value, he and all subsequent holders can claim to be holders for value. Okay. So, these are all the various parties to the negotiable instrument and all these parties are involved in the making of a negotiable instrument, in the transactions, in the deals that are dealt with as far as negotiable instruments are concerned. Okay, thank you.